Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Let's get to work, Fancy Brian. How you doing, big guy?
I'm all right. Well rested.
Excellent. And we got Evan here in the world headquarters, lightly screening your calls. But I'm excited about this big show because I got a good friend joining us in just a short time.
Uh-oh.
Former state senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Dale Schultz. Dale Schultz is coming on at 3:30, gonna, you know, co-devil, if you will, for the rest of the hour.
I always love when Dale Schultz comes around. It's always really good.
Well, Dale is good, and Dale is a former Republican, twice elected Republican majority leader. And I saw this little meme out there on the interwebs this weekend, and it was Dale Schultz, and it was from the Occupy Democrats. And I realized the quote, it was Dale Schultz calling out his own party for their, let's just say, attacks on the electoral process. Only it was like Dale Schultz from 2013. On this big show, it was Dale on this show being quoted. And Dale was, I think that was the first time this show ever went national. I got to see my interview, me and Dom's interview with Dale Schultz, reported by Rachel Maddow that night.
Awesome.
I think they called John Nichols for the interview, but, you know, we do that as well sometimes. Anyways, Dale Schultz joining us at 3:30. Also, I watched a little speech Biden gave from Poland over the weekend. I didn't know he was expected to give a big speech from Poland, but, you know, I was flipping back the news channels and saw a speech was coming, apparently 10 o'clock at night. And Joe Biden definitely had a bigger crowd in Warsaw than Trump had in Georgia.
Oh.
That's got to sting a little.
That's a shame.
And during the course of that speech, Joe Biden said something about regime change. And I think he was looking at Putin like, we got to get rid of this guy. Now he walked it back. He says, I'm not walking it back, but, you know, let me walk it back. I'm not advocating for regime change. This is not a new policy I'm advocating for, but...
Ask Iran how that worked out.
Yeah. So anyways, Joe Biden will update you on that topic as well. But here is the breaking news. This broke within the hour. I don't know if they're talking about this anywhere else yet, but they will be. Judge Trump more than likely committed crime in trying to block the Biden win.
That's a shame.
Yeah, federal judge. Newest reporting from the Washington Post. The ruling could boost pressure on the Justice Department to investigate former president's effort to overturn the 2020 election. Yeah, I've been trying to turn the heat up on Merrick Garland for some months and, hell, more than a year now. Matt Sapotsky and John Wagner at the Washington Post reporting. A federal judge said in a ruling Monday that then-President Donald Trump more likely than not, committed federal crimes in trying to obstruct the congressional count of the Electoral College votes on January 6, 2021, an assertion that is likely to increase public pressure on the Justice Department to investigate the former commander-in-chief. The determination of the U.S. District Court Judge David O'Carter, you know, sounds Irish there, came in a ruling addressing scores of sensitive emails that Trump ally and conservative lawyer John Eastman, you know, the Eastman memo, that guy, had resisted turning over to the House Select Committee investigating the J6 riot and related efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election result. Eastman wrote key legal memos aimed at denying Democrat Joe Biden's victory. The judge was assessing whether Eastman's communications were protected by attorney-client privilege. It was analyzing, in part, whether Eastman and Trump had consulted on the commission of a crime. And he decided, yeah, they probably did. Let me quote you directly from Carter's ruling. Based on the evidence, the court finds it's more likely than not that President Trump corruptly attempted to obstruct the joint session of Congress on January 6, 2021. Now, no comment yet from a Trump representative. Neither of Eastman nor his lawyers returned messages seeking comment. But the ruling by Carter, who was appointed to the bench in 1998 by President Bill Clinton, does not mean that Trump will be charged with or even investigated for a crime. That's the galling part, folks. But it will increase the pressure on the Justice Department. I think that's the third time they've written that in this little article, and potentially examine the conduct of Trump himself. Well, I know the J6 committee would like to get to what Trump's actions were on that day. Now, Attorney General Merrick Garland has vowed to hold accountable those responsible for the violent breach of the Capitol at any level. But there has been scant signs that the Justice Department is directly and aggressively examining Trump's conduct. Crudy wonders, why not? I read on. In his ruling, Carter noted that he was assessing the legal argument surrounding whether Eastman could be compelled to turn the documents over to the January 6th committee, not making a decision about how the legal system should respond to Trump's actions. But he, the judge, suggested that someone else should be holding Trump and his allies accountable, again from the ruling. More than a year after the attack on our Capitol, the public is still searching for accountability. This case cannot provide it, Carter wrote. The court is tasked only with deciding a dispute over a handful of emails. This is not a criminal prosecution. This is not even a civil liability suit. A spokesperson for the Justice Department also declined comment. Nobody commenting today. That's why I'm here. And you're here, Fancy Brand. If you got comment, throw it in. Former U.S. Attorney Joyce White Vance noted that in assessing whether Trump had committed a crime, Carter had said only that a preponderance of the evidence demonstrated as much. Wow, when the judge is saying, well, that's what the evidence says. That legal standard in civil cases, she said, is less rigorous than what criminal prosecutors would have to show. That the evidence proved Trump guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. A very little doubt. But Vance added, the evidence is compelling. Carter's 44-page opinion offers a careful analysis of 111 documents the committee sought, ultimately concluding that lawmakers are entitled to 101 of them. 101 Dalmatian documents. It's only number combination, 101. It's just the dog thing, right?
That's or that just the specific number they landed on, or they just said we can only fulfill 101?
111 requested documents, 101 of them will be given over. It assesses the emails in different batches, examines whether the committee should be able to assess them or whether they should be shielded by attorney-client privilege. Most significantly, the ruling assesses whether 11 of the documents should be turned over because of what is known as the crime fraud exemption. You remember that one, Fancy Brian? That's like when you're commissioning a crime, you can't claim attorney-client privilege. That exception allows the committee to get around the shields of attorney-client privilege. If lawmakers can demonstrate the communications they are seeking were advancing a crime, and the committee's lawyers had earlier this month alleged that Trump and key allies engaged in potential crimes during their effort to overturn the election, they specifically cited conspiring to defraud the United States and obstructing an official congressional proceeding. Those are the two counts that they would cite if they were criminal. The counting of the electoral votes. Those efforts, they argued, the J6 committee should invalidate Eastman's claims that his documents were protected by attorney-client privilege. Now, the judge, once again, Carter, his name, broke down each potential charge. Analyzing the actions taken by Trump and others in the run-up to January 6th, he detailed at length Trump's pressure to have Vice President Pence single-handedly determine the results of the 2020 election. On January 4th, the judge wrote, Trump and Eastman hosted an Oval Office meeting with Pence and his advisors, and Eastman presented a plan focusing on either rejecting electors or delaying the count. When Pence was unpersuaded, the judge wrote, Trump sent Eastman to review the plan with Pence's lawyer. In that meeting, the judge wrote, Eastman was blunt about his intention, saying, I'm here asking you to reject the electors. On January 6th, the judge wrote, Trump posted messages on Twitter beseeching Pence to act and called Pence directly, urging him to make the call and enact the plan. Trump then gave a speech to a large crowd at the Ellipse, warning, Mike Pence, I hope you're going to stand up for the good of our Constitution and for the good of our country. And if you're not, I'm going to be very disappointed in you. I will tell you right now. Trump ended the speech by asking his supporters to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue to give Pence and Congress the kind of pride and boldness they need to take our country back. Again, that's from the judge's ruling today. Together, these actions, more likely than not, constitute attempts to obstruct an official proceeding. That's what a judge's ruling today is accusing the former president. Crimes, specific crimes. Not that he's got the power to prosecute, but at least he can call attention to it. As can we. More Devil's Advocates. Come right back. It's Monday.
If we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so.
There's a good chance I may have committed some light treason.
You're under arrest, Trump.